Okay, sir, we are recording. If you will, please state your full name and title for the record.
My name is David Griffith, and I'm the executive director of the Heart of Missouri chapter for the American Red Cross.
Well, sir, it's my understanding that this marks National Preparedness Month. I'd like for you to begin by talking to me about the goal behind that campaign, if you will, please.
Certainly. One of the things that the Red Cross has done for years is that we have responded to recovery and responded to disasters, and we've helped with recovery. But the one piece that we didn't really emphasize a whole lot is one that we've, since I think Hurricane Katrina and with what happened in Joplin and Moore, Oklahoma, preparedness has really become a major piece of what the American Red Cross does through our disaster services. And it really makes a whole lot of sense. The more prepared that we are for a disaster, whether it be a single family fire or whether it be a major disaster like a Joplin tornado, our preparedness and how prepared we are prior to that event will have a lot of impact on how we respond to that afterwards and how we recover from that particular event. So September has been set up as Preparedness Month, and it's during this month that we really are pushing out information to media outlets like yourselves that to get the word out that there are some steps that you can take during the month of September to really prepare your family and for a disaster when it happens.
Well, let's talk about those emergency plans just a little bit. Give us some examples, if you will, of what they should include.
One of the things that I think that they should include, and that is to make a plan. You make a plan that where everybody that's in your house, we're going to talk about households today, and this also extends into the business world as well with corporations and businesses. But for what we're going to talk about today, and that's what you can do for your own personal family to make sure that they're prepared. And when you're making that plan, everybody that's in the house should be a part of that particular plan making. And the reason for that is because many of them may not be at home or be together when a disaster happens. So each individual member of the family needs to know where they go, what they do, and how they were going to respond. One of the things they need to do is to, when you're making your plan, is to have two different places you're going to meet. One that is going to be just right outside of your house, and then one that would be outside of your neighborhood, more of a remote location, in case the area you're living in is not inhabitable and they need to move from there. The plan should also identify an emergency contact that's outside of the region. So if you've got an aunt or an uncle or mother or father or brother or sister or somebody that lives away from the affected area, then they are somebody that all the family can check in with, and they can let them know that you're okay and that you're where you are so that they can help reconnect those families as well. The emergency plan should also include decisions about where to go if you have to evacuate and what route you're going to need to take in order to get there. You know, we were down in Florida a couple of years ago, and they've got signs down there that for evacuation routes, so that they've had this happen to them so many times that they have taken positive steps to try and let the public know if there is an evacuation, this is where you need to go, so that there's no question in their mind. And I think one thing that we can't forget, and that's our family pets. Our family pets are part of our home, and they also need to be mindful of them. We can look for plans that would include some things such as a pet-friendly hotel or animal shelters that would be along that evacuation site.
Mr. Griffith, we've talked about evacuation plans. I also want to ask you, what about plans that might include us being in our homes for several days at a time where access to water and that sort of thing won't be readily available? What kind of a stockpile should we keep in our homes?
Well, we encourage people to have their own pantry. And the pantry that they have, and this is something that can be added on to, but the pantry should include 2 weeks of supplies. It should include a week's worth of water, obviously a first aid kit, a weather radio or some type of a radio that is battery operated, flashlights, blankets, we have, and all of our staff, and what we encourage people we talk to is when they put a kit together, and in that kit you will have a change of clothes, two or three changes of clothes. It's all in a bag that you can grab. That if you need to leave the home, that it's always ready, and you can grab it and just go. Each one of my staff members has got a kit, or what we call a to-go kit, that if we were to have an emergency here, we've got our bag that we can grab, and we're ready to go. So those are just some very basic things that you can have. And as I said, financially, if you can't afford to do all that all at once, add to it each week. When you go to the store and you're buying your weekly supplies, buy a little extra and put them in there. Canned goods are always very good. There are some products that are out there that won't expire that you would always have on hand.
Mr. Griffith, I understand that the Red Cross has developed some mobile apps that are designed to help us in those emergency situations. What can you tell us about those?
Probably the best thing I can tell you about them is they're free. There's only one app that we have right now. We've got 8 apps that are out there now. One app we have that does cost 99 cents, and that's the Pet First Aid app. But we've got the Hurricane app. We've got a Tornado app. We've got a Wildfires app. We've got a First Aid app. Those apps, and we'll talk about just the First Aid, really gives you step-by-step of what to do if you come across somebody that is injured and what you can do for them. One of our disaster apps, the Tornado app, and the Earthquake app as well, they both have a place on there where it's called an I'm Safe button, where you can push that button and it pushes out to social media to all your friends that you are okay. The other thing it has in those apps, it tells you how to make a plan. It tells you the steps you need to go through. It tells you what to do before a disaster, during a disaster, and after a disaster. So step by step, it walks you through it. In the First Aid in the Tornado and the Hurricane apps, they've got an alarm that's on there. So if you're trapped, there's an alarm that goes off that you can sound. There's a beacon in there that you can let people know where you are. Very useful app, and we recommend everybody get them because they really don't cost anything. And if we've got severe weather that's coming through, the Tornado app alerts you of flash flooding, alerts you of severe weather that's coming your way, so you can take action prior to that event happening.
Just a prime example of how technology can certainly make a difference in those emergency situations. Anything else that you would like to add this afternoon, sir?
I just really want to, this goes beyond just your home. It also goes into your business as well. And so some of the plans that you make in your home with your personal family, take that same exercise to your workplace. And probably the most important part of having that plan is that you practice that plan. You practice a plan twice a year. In our office here, we've got one person that is our point person for exercises like that. And unannounced, they will come through and say it's a fire drill. And everybody, we know where we're supposed to go, and everybody heads to that location. We do the same thing with a tornado drill. So those drills are, while at the time they may seem silly and that we're wasting time, believe me, when that situation happens and you're able to respond effectively and protect your family and protect those that you work with, that whole exercise is well worth it.
Absolutely. Very important. I want to thank you for your time this afternoon, sir. We'll do our best to spread the word and help people get prepared.
All right. We certainly appreciate all that your radio station does for us and the support we get from you. And we can't tell you enough how much we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your help as well. Have a good afternoon, sir.
All right.